Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everybody, you know, a little bit of everybody touched the ball. Got some young guys that are going to be in there. Got to get in there and contribute. Everybody's got to do their part so we can carry this load and make sure that we can, you know, keep pushing this thing in the right direction to finish out. Things happen. It's a long season, man. 16 games. That's why you have to have two or three backs. You have to be prepared and you have to go out there and you have to handle business. So my role is to step in there and fill in this week, here and there, however many carries. Team guy, and I'm ready to go.
That right there is the Riddler, Stephen Ridley. His last 100-yard rushing game was back in 2014. He had a 1,000-yard season back in 2012, which might as well be ancient history. I think John Henry Johnson also had a 1,000-yard season for the Steelers back in the day, but I don't know how either one of those things helped their cause, not only in Oakland this weekend, but moving forward. Let's go to the fan hotline brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. We're joined by our Steelers insider, Ed Bouchette. Is Ed wrote in the Post-Gazette, he called this one of the Steelers' worst nightmares, the James Conner injury and where it leaves them. Ed, of the things that you could criticize the Steelers for at running back, not signing a good enough veteran or bringing one in, waiting until the fifth round to draft a guy that's not even a real running back in Samuels, the way they handled Le'Veon Bell, which criticism do you look at and say, that's the biggest reason why they're in the situation they're in right now?
Well, as you know, Andrew, I wrote this back in March, that they should look at not tagging Bell and using that money elsewhere and signing a good veteran and drafting one. I mean, but, you know, that's long past now. But once they did that, once they did give him the franchise tag, I thought they should have made a better effort to bring someone else in. They didn't know what they had in Connor yet. You know, they could have had nothing wrong with having three good backs just in case. Because we've seen the backs get hurt before. It's not just the fact that Le'Veon Bell held out. Backs get hurt. It's what killed them in 2015 in the playoffs, 2014 in the playoffs, and you could even say 2016 when Bell had to leave that game early in the AFC title game because of an injury, groin injury. You know, Mike is famous for running the wheels off of his backs, and he sticks with one guy. He doesn't like backs by committee for whatever reason. And they always get hurt. You know, they wind up at the end of the season, somebody's hurt.
Ed, when I think about them in the draft addressing this position, I look at a guy like Justin Jackson, who just ran all over them in brief in the second half of that Chargers game, or I just look at a guy that went undrafted, a Philip Lindsay, players like that. I mean, Justin Jackson I'll focus on just because he's the guy that just was here. It feels to me, is it a fair assessment to say that they got the ultimate luxury item in Jalen Samuels in the sense that he's not even a traditional running back, a guy who broke double-digit carries one time in a single game in his college career? That feels like a pick made to make the quarterback happy, giving him another random kind of weapon when they could have gotten a better and more traditional running back still.
Chris, when somebody picks up like a Lindsay as a free agent, they're getting lucky. It's not because they know so much more than anybody else, because if they did, they would have drafted him in the seventh round before the competition began to sign him as an undrafted free agent. The Steelers hit lightning in a bottle with Willie Parker. You know, it happens. I can't blame the Steelers for that, and I can't blame them for drafting Samuels in the fifth round. I just thought at the very least, they should have had one more veteran back. And hey, maybe Stephen Ridley's going to do it. I haven't seen it this year, but he hasn't been permitted to get into a flow of the game, and that's another, you know, that's another thing. When I say they were unprepared for this, they didn't prepare a backup to Connor. They didn't you know, work Samuels in enough. They didn't work Ridley in. You know, I'm not saying you had to do both, but get somebody else some carries. Other teams do it all the time. They win Super Bowls doing it. New England was famous for doing it. Philadelphia did it last year. I sound like a broken record because I've been saying this over and over and over again. Even the Steelers of the 70s, for Franco Harris, they still had Rocky Blyer gain 1,000 yards in 1976. And I know it was a different game, but really, having more than one back is a good thing.
Ed, you already referenced Mike Tomlin and how he always picks one running back to get the lion's share of the work and never really goes with a committee. And yet he said on Tuesday, we're going to do it by committee. What's your hunch on this? Do you think he'll pick one guy and ride him on Sunday?
I think he'll start Samuels, Andrew, and he'll work the other guy in, Stephen Ridley. But and maybe even on passing situations, he maybe feel that as a veteran, Ridley can pick up the blitz better. So you might see him, although Oakland is so bad on the pass rush, you may not have to do that this week. You may have to wait till New England. But I think if one of them shows he has a hot hand, he might go with him longer. I mean, any coach, I think, would do that. But I do think they're going to start Samuels. I mean, and he's the guy who's been quiet most lately. You know, Ridley, the last five games, he really only played on offense in one of them.
Ed, Mike Tomlin, I'm sure, has other things on his mind, like which play he's going to challenge in this coming game that is going to leave people scratching their heads. How do you explain how bad he is, 9 lost challenges in a row, and his stubbornness at not wanting to have somebody whose job it is to basically tell him do or don't challenge this play?
Yeah, stubbornness is how I would describe it. You know, he tried to explain it by saying it's too much, and this is to Steelers.com, Bob Labriola. He talked to him about it a number of weeks ago, that it's not worth paying a guy just to have him up there doing that. Well, maybe just, you know, have one of your coaches assigned to do that. Maybe, you know, besides whatever else he's doing up there, or maybe just hire a guy on Sunday that you trust. You know what I mean? Just pay him one day a week. I don't know, but coaches always tell us they don't get a good view of things from the sideline. You don't. It's why those sideline seats are not the best seats when you're trying to get the best seats in the house. It's hard to see over everybody. Yet here he is. He's either trying to do it by looking at the play or looking at a scoreboard. He's not going to see the scoreboard in visiting stadiums. They're just not going to do that for him. His own guy will do it if he's fast enough. But I don't understand it. And part of the reasons he's 0-for-9 is he keeps challenging spots, and they're just not going to change the spots.
Ed, this might be a really stupid follow-up question to that, but you say he's not going to pay a guy. Would he even have to go to Art Rooney II and say, hey, Art, can you disburse some funds here for this? Is this something where he's got to run this up the ladder here? Or could he just say, I'm paying somebody X number of dollars, you know, here, it's done. I feel like this is probably not something that an NFL's team should be worried about, you know, its pocketbook with.
I'm sure if he went to Art and said, Art, I could really use a replay guy. Art would find the money and let him have the guy.
Look in the couch cushions a little bit to find a few, you know, some spare change.
Yeah, I don't think it's the money. I think that's a smokescreen. I don't know why they're so stubborn about it. You know, Chuck Noll was famous for saying this, and I'm trying to remember, you know, whether it was hiring his first special teams coach or finding his first long snapper, because he went years without either. And he finally, something happened. He finally said, if you hit a donkey in the head enough times with a 2x4, even he gets the message.
Ed, do the Rooneys hate the Raiders? Do they hate Al Davis? It's like NFL establishment versus NFL black sheep or anti-NFL.
Renegade.
Like, how do the Rooneys view the Davis family and the Oakland franchise?
Well, they used to hate them. I know that. I mean, they detested them, the whole thing. You know, Joe Gordon, their PR guy, got into a fight with a media guy out there once, out in Oakland, famously. No, I don't think he did. But I don't know if it got physical.
That's going around.
A TV guy. It was a TV. That's what I heard. But it was out in Oakland. Anyway, I don't know if they still do. I mean, you know, I think through the years, you know, things change. Obviously, both Dan and Oakland Al are gone, as are many of the people who, you know, were part of that. And they really don't meet enough, and don't meet certainly in important games anymore.
Ed, I referenced the headbutt. That video went viral of two fans getting into it, and you had a Steelers fan choke a pregnant Chargers fan on Sunday. You talked to Art Rooney, and he said that he didn't like as many night games. Do you think that's part of it? Do you think the organization sees these things and believes they're just kind of, you know, horrible incidents that happen once in a blue moon? Or do you think that there might be some actual concern and time spent looking at the way that Steelers fans behave in these types of situations?
You know, Andrew, I think that happens in every stadium in America in football. You know, we've seen some really bad instances out in San Francisco, which is supposed to be a laid-back kind of place, where they had trouble out of the old Candlestick Park. And when Art was talking about that, I don't think he was talking about that kind of specifically. I think he just meant the fans didn't like night games. They weren't coming out to them as much, for what you guys had talked about earlier, getting up in the morning, travel. You know, they have some people that travel a long way to see the Steelers that still are season ticket holders. And, you know, if they have to work Monday morning, it's a little different driving home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when the game's over than midnight. And I think that's the reason.
Ed, I have an important question to finish up with. I had a real question to finish up with, but I have something more pressing. I believe now I've been told, I haven't seen you in a while, which is my shame here, that you currently have decided to go with the full beard for facial hair, correct?
No, that's not true. I'm trying to, what happens is I get lazy. Well, I'll tell you the whole evolution of this thing was, first of all, I had a girlfriend in college that suggested the mustache, all right? Then years later, I had another one that suggested the goatee. All right, so I did that. And then a couple of years ago, I had a little growth that had to be removed off my face, so I couldn't shave. And while my whiskers were growing, my fiance Annie said, I kind of like that. Why don't you leave it like that? So I do, but it's not a beard. It's more like longer whiskers, and she actually takes care of it for me. She brushes it off. But I get lazy, and when I don't do it often enough, get it cut, it looks like a beard. Well, if you watch me on Channel 2 tonight, you'll see I'm freshly shaven, at least down to the little whiskers.
All right, Ed, I have to then – that's a phenomenal answer, but I have one follow-up question like any, you know, journalist would. What version, when you think of yourself, what version of yourself do you like to picture the most? Mustache, goatee, the whiskers, clean-shaven? What is the ideal for Ed Bouchette version of Ed Bouchette?
Clean-shaven, because the last time I was clean-shaven, I was 21 years old.
Okay, because we were trying to figure out what your bust looked like in Canton, and if it had a goatee or a mustache yesterday.
They don't give us busts. They just put our name on a board somewhere in the back.
Oh, well, they should give you a bust, and it should have a clean shaven Ed Bouchette as you were when you were 21.
All right, Ed, I'll see you in Oakland.
All right, fellas. Sometimes I'll show you a picture of that 21-year-old.
All right. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.